Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining us this week is Dr. Savitra Bhandari, pediatric neurologist and assistant professor of neuroscience at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Joel. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the program. We're going to talk about concussion today. You are an expert in that, I'm told. Correct?
Yeah.
You know all about it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows the word concussion and what it means, but we're going to, you know, dig a little deeper, find out exactly what it is and dispel some of the myths and so forth. So let's start with that. Basically, what is a concussion? If you had a patient come in and you diagnosed them with a concussion, you said, you have a concussion, and they said, what's that? What's your response to that?
Mm-hmm. So concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury. It is usually caused by a bump or blow to the head that causes brain to move rapidly back and forth. And that results in dysfunction of the brain function. Sometimes, you know, it causes chemical changes in the brain, and it damages brain cells also, and it disrupts the signals between nerves temporarily, which causes concussion symptoms. Even though I mentioned, like, you know, concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury, but concussions can be serious.
Yeah, some are worse than others. What's an example of one that, say, is mild? I think I had a mild one once. I banged into somebody playing a sport, and I was kind of dizzy and kind of out of it for the rest of the day. I would assume that would be kind of a mild one, because the next day I was okay.
Yeah. Okay. That is the correct example of mild concussion.
Yeah. Now, what would be a good example of, I don't think I've ever experienced a more severe concussion.
Yeah, severe concussion can be like child can have loss of consciousness, vomiting, headache, sometimes memory problems, and they take like, you know, a couple of weeks to recover from the concussion. And in rare cases, they can have seizure after concussion. We call it as an impact seizure. So those can be like, you know, serious forms of concussion. But as you mentioned, there can be very mild concussion, like, you know, a couple of symptoms, 1 or 2 days, and then child gets better. So, and he does not need any other interventions. And then that is the example of mild concussion.
What should I do, or if my child experiences the symptoms that I explained, like it went away the next day, should you still get it checked out at that point?
I think it is better to get checked out so that, you know, parents can be more aware of the concussion, whether it was really concussion or not, so that they can have some, like, you know, awareness, and they can help, like, you know, child in better way to recover fast.
And you mentioned the vomiting can occur. Is that something that could happen immediately after the blow to the head, or is that something, if it's untreated, it would lead to that, and that would be another sign?
Yeah, so most of the time, symptoms occur right away after concussion, but in some cases, it happens after a couple of days or weeks. Those can be dangerous because you don't have symptoms. You feel like, you know, this is not a concussion. So you might not be taking precautions, and then you start developing all the symptoms. So that's why, you know, any head injury, you have to get checked by, like, you know, professional, so that you will know, like, you know, what to do exactly in first couple of days, because that is the vital period, first 48 hours.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you're saying that you can have a blow to the head and not have symptoms, but then you can have symptoms a couple days later.
Exactly. So that can be a little dangerous because you are, like, you know, you are not aware, like, you had concussion, so you might not be taking any precautions which you are supposed to take. And then you develop symptoms after 48 hours or sometimes up to a couple of days also.
So the symptoms, did you mention all the symptoms, or are there more, the possible symptoms?
Yeah, there are more symptoms actually. So symptoms can be physical, cognitive, visual, or emotional. So we talked about loss of consciousness, then vomitings, headache, drowsiness, dizziness, loss of balance, nausea, vomiting, trouble thinking, remembering things, trouble concentrating, ringing in the ears, changes in sleeping pattern. And in small babies, there might be, like, you know, inconsolable crying, and they refuse to feed. So you have to watch all these signs and symptoms. And then some children can have, like, you know, vision changes, and then mood changes depending upon what part of the brain got concussed. So they can have irritability, sadness, nervousness, or they become more emotional during the recovery period. And we have talked about light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Those are all, like, you know, group of symptoms.
Right, that's a lot to look for. So these are all symptoms that could happen either right away or in a couple of days or in a week or two.
Right, correct.
So someone, you know, your child bangs their head and they seem to be okay. They don't even say anything. You know, they stop crying or whatever the case may be. And then they seem fine for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden they start vomiting. I mean, this is something that could happen, and then you don't even remember that they banged their head, or they don't remember, and then you're dealing with these symptoms. You don't even, you know, when I say you, I mean the parent, doesn't even know what's going on.
Exactly. So those can be, like, a little bit dangerous, you know. So that's why awareness and taking to the medical professional, like, you know, just to know whether it was really concussion or what to do for first couple of days to help your child, that is very important. So what you have to do, like, you know, after a child gets concussion or any head injury. So watch your child closely for the first 48 hours after the injury. As we mentioned, they might develop more symptoms or they might develop symptoms after 48 hours. And then second thing is physical rest. So have your child rest to help his brain heal. So keep your child home from school or daycare. You don't have to keep them for more than 2 or 3 days. It's not like in a week or something. 2 days are enough. And do not let him ride bike, running, swimming, mm-hmm. climbing, or playing sports. So kind of physical rest.
No sports. Where they could possibly bang their head again.
Basically. Exactly.
Right.
No sports until cleared by healthcare provider.
Okay, so we mentioned all the signs, the symptoms. When someone comes into you and maybe, as I said, maybe they don't remember banging their head, but we'll set that aside. How do you diagnose that it's a concussion and not something else? If you're not aware of the fact that they had some sort of head trauma.
So usually we do full neurological examination, including but not limited, checking the pupils, memory, and balance. And that gives some idea, like, you know, whether child had concussion or not. And then we advise patients to take care of rest of the things. So after physical rest, there is a mental rest or cognitive rest, or it is also called as brain rest. So this is the complete brain cognitive rest for first 48 hours. So do not let your child play video games, reading, watching TV, or using computer, because that also causes strain on your brain. So you just want to give some time for your brain to heal completely. And even child had symptoms, he can resume school after 2 days. It's not necessarily he has to stay at home. And then school can give some modifications. So whatever, we call it as tolerated, because every child and every concussion is different. So school and parents can, like, you know, discuss and then say what child is going to tolerate. So step by step, kind of a school rehabilitation. But he doesn't have to stay in home after 2 days, so even with symptoms. And then... and if there are any activities triggering their symptoms, they should step back and then, not resume until they become symptom-free.
Right.
And as we talked about, do not let your child to play sports until he is cleared by healthcare provider. That is very important.
And obviously, you know, the idea is to prevent further damage or prevent another concussion.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you have to give enough time to heal the first concussion. There is one concept of second impact syndrome. For example, one child gets concussion and he's recovering, not fully recovered, and he gets another concussion. That can cause brain to swell, like a lot of edema. And in 50% of cases, the death is also reported. So even I mentioned, like, you know, it is a mild traumatic brain injury, but it can be serious also. So that's why, you know, this awareness and then initial steps are very, very important.
Yeah, so if someone gets a concussion and then it's not fully healed and they get another one, it's much worse. It sounds like what you're saying is it's much worse than if you get a concussion, it's fully healed, and then you get another one. Not that you want to get another one in any circumstance, but it's worse if you get it before you get a second one before the first one's healed.
Correct. And that's the reason we don't allow them to resume the sports until they are completely recovered from the concussion, first concussion.
Talking with Dr. Savitra Bhandari, a pediatric neurologist and assistant professor of neuroscience at JFK University Medical Center. A friend of ours, a friend of our family, their daughter was at school one day and was walking up or down the steps. She slipped. She banged her head on the steps. This was probably ninth grade. She's a college graduate at this point, and she's still having problems from that concussion. Is that the most extreme case, or are there is there can it be worse than that?
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, so some children have risk factors and they take long time to recover from the concussion. For example, somebody has medical history of like migraines or tension headaches or any psychiatric problem like anxiety, depression or some other psychiatric issues or ADHD, autism. So those kids are at high risk to take longer time or sometimes very long time to recover from all the symptoms. So they continue to have all these like headaches or depression or ADHD like symptoms for the longer time. And they need like, you know, continue to follow up and then medical management for those symptoms.
Right. So the medical management is for those who it doesn't go away. It or the symptoms or the, you know, the byproduct of the concussion never goes away. Because I have to imagine this friend that we're talking about, there's not going to come a day where she's not dealing with it in some way or another.
Yep.
Yeah.
I treated some teenagers for a couple of months with the preventive headache therapy because they already had migraine. They had concussion, and that concussion started worsening of all these migraines. And they needed to go on like, you know, prescription medication for good amount of time before we get good control of the headaches.
Right, control, but not elimination.
So in some cases, you can.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is possible for someone. I guess what I'm getting at, what I'm getting at is you can bang your head and then you can have a lifetime of repercussions from that. Or it could be healed in a matter of weeks or days.
Right.
It depends on the person and the impact, I would imagine.
And also, what is the number of concussion? If somebody gets like third concussion, every concussion, like, you know, they take longer time to recover. And
sure.
How bad was the concussion, like blow or whatever, the head injury? So there are so many factors together. So that's why, you know, we treat every concussion like a unique snowflake. So not two concussions are same or not two patients are same. So we go with like, you know, whatever the child's presentation, symptoms, and what help he needs.
Yeah.
We also ask parents to use like, you know, over-the-counter painkillers for headaches or any other symptoms. They also have sleep disturbances. So some people use like, you know, melatonin initially. And if that is not helpful, then we prescribe like, you know, medications, like prescription medications for headaches, nausea, vomiting, sleep disturbances, dizziness, depression, attention and concentration problems.
Yeah, you brought up a good point with the number of concussions. I wasn't even thinking about that. So let's say you have a patient, a child that gets a concussion during a football game, let's say, and then you heal that concussion and then they get another one maybe 6 months later. And then that is healed properly as far as you can tell, or it is healed. And then they get a third. At what point do you say, hey, you can't play sports anymore? Is there a number of concussions, or it depends on the child?
No, any concussion is not good for child's brain.
Right.
Especially children are like, you know, their brain is still maturing, developing, and if it causes any trauma, which is not a good for the long-term development. So if it is my child, I would say after first concussion, stop. But again, like, you know, I see patients with 3 concussions, 4 concussions, 5 concussions, and I always like educate them like, you know, brain is more important than sports, but, you know, still they keep on coming with like, you know, new concussions.
Right.
So it all goes with the, like, you know, how much they are interested in sports.
Right. They don't want to give that up. But
exactly.
this can be something that you know, later in life can come back to haunt them.
Yeah.
But you just don't know.
Exactly. So there is one concept of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So if somebody gets like, you know, frequent concussions, eventually in their 40s or 50s, there are some studies, autopsy studies. So their brain started changing like Alzheimer or something. So they had like, you know, cognitive problems, psychiatric problems. So concussions can be very dangerous in long term also.
Talking with Dr. Savitra Bhandari, pediatric neurologist and assistant professor of neuroscience at JFK University Medical Center. Let's talk about some of the, I guess, what would we say, the myths of concussions. What some people think about concussions that aren't necessarily true, and that could certainly have a negative effect on those who experience a concussion and deal with it improperly.
Yeah. So this is the very important thing about concussion, because there are so many myths, and that's why parents, we need, like, you know, proper education to all the our society and community. The first thing is, if it is not a concussion, unless consciousness is lost. So that is one of the common myths. They say, like, you know, okay, I did not lose consciousness, so this is not concussion. That is totally wrong, because less than 10% of cases of concussion can have loss of consciousness. So less than 10%. So that is not even definition of concussion.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, but there are people who think that, huh?
Mm-hmm. There are so many people, they think, like, you know, he did not lose consciousness, so I thought this was not concussion. So this is a very common myth, actually.
The okay.
Another,
all right.
Yeah.
Good. You have another one.
Another myth is, like, you know, a child who suffers from, like, a concussion heals faster than adult. But that is totally opposite. This was the old concept, but later on they found, like, you know, actually child takes longer time to heal from the concussion compared to adult.
Oh, it's actually longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. So we used to think that children would heal quicker. Now we find that it takes longer for children to heal from a concussion.
Yes, and the developing brain is more vulnerable for the injury, and it can cause long-term effects. That's why, you know, this pediatric concussion is very important, you know.
Are there any others that...
Yeah. The other myth is wearing a helmet offers total protection from concussion. Mm. So when you are wearing helmet, you are putting, like, protection to your skull, not the brain. So brain inside is still freely able to move. So it can minimize the, like, you know, damage, but it doesn't prevent the concussion.
Right. Well, we would, if that were true, then football players would never get a concussion because they're all wearing helmets. So they can't possibly be true.
Absolutely not. It can prevent, like, you know, skull fractures or bleeds or something, but inside your skull, brain is still, like, you know, freely moving back and forth. So maybe it, like, you know, minimizes the damage, but it doesn't prevent the concussion. But
right.
Still, you have to use the helmet.
Right. You're still getting the impact, and the skull or the brain is still being shaken inside the head, which is what a concussion is. It hits up against the side of the skull, right?
Yeah. And we talked about, like, you know, they also say if you don't have symptoms immediately, you don't have concussion. But we already talked about sometimes symptoms can develop after a couple of days to weeks. So you have to be, every injury, you have to be a little bit more careful and then be aware whether it could be possible, like, concussion.
Yeah, make a note if your child bangs their head and they say, I'm okay, just make a little note, maybe, you know, put it in your phone, like, you know, Jimmy banged his head on this date, so you know if something happens in a week or two or whenever, you can refer back to that and you say, yeah, he banged his head on the sidewalk, you know, 3.5 weeks ago. That's a wise thing to do. When they come in, you were going to say, go ahead, I'm sorry, and I'll ask you my next question.
No, go ahead.
When they come in after they have a concussion or they have symptoms, they don't know it's a concussion, they come into you. And I know we touched on this earlier. What is the process when they come to see you? Do they see you first, or is there someone else that they might see before they get to you?
Yeah, so if it is child is in sports, like, you know, the schools have coaches, so they usually do the concussion testing. They have, like, you know, some questionnaire they do. But if it is not the sports concussion or something, then they usually go to primary care physician, and then they were referred to us. And when we get phone call for, like, you know, any concussion patient, we make efforts to see the child within a couple of days, like, kind of ASAP, as much, like, you know, early possible, because we have to help the parent to understand and then diagnose, and if anything, like, concerning signs, we have to address. In some cases, we even order CAT scan or MRI scan. So in concussion, the imaging is normal because that is what mild traumatic brain injury. So it is not going to show anything in concussions. But when we do CT scan or MRI scan, when we are suspicious for either bleeding in the brain or fractures, like, you know, skull fracture or something.
Right.
So a lot of people have misconception, like, you know, oh, they did CAT scan and then they diagnosed him with concussion, but that is not true. So concussion is the clinical diagnosis. We don't do CAT scan, MRI to make the diagnosis of concussion, but we do that scanning just to rule out something else, like, you know, bleeding of the brain or skull fractures.
So the MRI or the CAT scan does not show a concussion. That's just another tool that you use for other reasons.
Yes. If brain scan shows something, that is not concussion.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that could be anything. Yeah, and then you would rule out concussion, and then that's, I guess there are things that could be worse or not as bad as a concussion that you discover.
Yeah. So we do CAT scan or MRI scan only in certain cases. If child has like impact seizure, we talked about right after concussion, child goes into like seizure. So that might be something underlying serious thing. So we do CAT scan. And if we are suspicious for any, like child is not returning to baseline, he's very tired or dazed, memory problem, mm-hmm. or he has like continuous vomitings, or he has like loss of consciousness. And so in particular cases only, we do CAT scan, because CAT scan is not very safe for child's brain. It's a developing brain. It's a lot of radiation. So unless it is really needed, we don't even recommend CT scan or MRI scan.
So let's take a child who, before we wrap up, we have a couple minutes left. A child who has never had a concussion. Your child. Let's say it's your child, you know, because you referred to if it were your child earlier. Never had a concussion. But they want to play sports. They want to do things that, you know, they want to do some headbanging activities. How do you deal with that as a parent?
Yeah, so the first thing, you know, they have to be more careful about, like, you know, preventing concussions. So there are different ways to prevent concussions.
Okay.
But again, we cannot prevent 100%, but at least we can take some precautions. So first thing, parents have to make their home safe for the child. Like, you know, self-latching gates at the bottom and tops of the stairs, screw the gate of the wall at the top of the stairs, install handrails for every staircase, or put soft bumpers or furniture on the furniture edges and corners, and secure heavy furniture so that, like, you know, kind of dressers or bookcase so that child cannot pull it over.
Right.
Then when child is traveling, you make sure it is a proper car seat or booster seat or seat belt every time child goes in the car. That will prevent, like, you know, minimizing the head injury if there is a car accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then while sports, they have to wear protective sport equipment that fits properly. So helmet, again, we talked about helmet is not a guarantee after concussion, but it can help decrease the risk. And proper helmet, because there are, like, you know, different helmets for different sports, like football, very specific helmet. So you have to make sure, like, you know, your child has all these protective sports equipments before he starts the entering into sports.
Now, I know there are some doctors, or I guess some people are trying to, and some people this think this is ridiculous, but if you really think about it, they're trying to eliminate in the you're familiar with soccer, right? The headers, mm-hmm. when people head the ball, because that causes concussions as well. What are you and your colleagues, what is the feeling in what you do about that? Because I know a lot of kids play soccer.
Yeah. Again, those we cannot prevent, because once they are in sports, they are at risk to have concussions. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we're taking all these preventive measures, and coaches are there. They can guide, and then they can help them to, like, you know, how to take care of, like, you know, not to have concussion. But again, on top of that, also, child can still have concussion. And it's not always sports. You can have, like, you know, just falling on the floor, motor vehicle accidents, being hit by other object or another person, sometimes forceful shaking, like, you know, shaken baby type, you know, those also can lead to concussion.
Okay. Dr. Savitra Bhandari, pediatric neurologist and assistant professor of neuroscience at JFK University Medical Center. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak this morning.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.